Hello and welcome back to Care to Share with me, Valentina, joined by the lovely Alisara.
So we'll start the show off as we usually do with our medical disclaimer that we are in no way medical practitioners or anything along those lines. We are in our 20s and we do history. We are quite frankly in no way qualified, and yeah, so just want to say if you have any issues medically, trust us a bit, but we try and get it right.
I mean, we always read off like reputable websites, yes, and things like that. So what we're saying is actually like,
it's got background,
but if you're worried about specific things.
Yeah, if in doubt, check it out.
If in doubt, check it
with
out.
With GP.
Yeah. And today we've got such a nice show planned because we're celebrating International Women's Day, which is March 8th. And we're decided to collab with the University of York boob team,
which I am the president of.
Yeah. Don't be shy,
not for long though.
Anymore. That's really sad, actually.
Yeah, we're doing nominations
soon. Are you sad
soon
about losing it?
I am, in the sense of it's been really fun and rewarding, but I am so busy with my dissertation.
Yeah,
it's looming, looming, and I.
Depression.
Yeah, so do you recommend being involved in the boob team? Got prez nominations going up soon, which will be fun.
Yeah, yeah. And I think to be prez of that is actually really like good thing to do. So I think, yeah, if you can, I would 100% do it. And I don't think you said that it was that demanding in terms of workload.
It's kind of as demanding as you want it to be. So yeah, you could go above and beyond and get as much money as you can and devote your entire life to it. I physically couldn't. But you know, we had our fundraising target. No idea how the Tesco sign up target's gone because they haven't updated us, but I'm sure it's gone really good.
Yeah, and the thing is, I feel like one, because I actually joined it, guys, after Christmas. So when I joined it, I just felt like it was actually a really nice like environment, and also it was very chilled. Like, it wasn't, because I think sometimes with societies it can be quite like really like preppy and stressful, but it wasn't like that at all. It was very like relaxed and just, you know.
And I'm definitely going to continue doing work for Copperfield in the sense of like individual fundraising after uni. I feel like it might be a go-to charity for me.
Yeah.
But at uni, my time's only to an end. But what we do is we kind of, when the new, whoever the new prez is, I do a sort of co-prez thing in the summer because not much happens in the summer because of exams and just there's no student life's kind of, you know, obviously going socially, but in terms of campus fundraising, it's kind of over.
Yeah, yeah.
So we kind of do a co-prez thing, get the new committee introduced, and then we are on our way. But yeah, so today we've got really exciting. After our first segment, we have the lovely Caitlin coming in to talk, who is the events officer for Boob Team and has been in Boob Team longer than I have. Yeah, she is an OG. She's been in since she's in our year. She's been in since first year, so I think 2019. I remember she painted glitter on my face. Before I was even in Boob Team, I did a glitter
for the
night.
Pink invasion.
Yeah, pink invasion in first year, yeah. So Caitlin is an OG and she's going to come in and talk, and she is amazing. So it's going to be really fun.
It's going to be really good. I'm actually really excited to have someone in the studio with us because usually we pre-record, don't we? So it's actually nice to have someone else with us, like having a discussion. International Women's Day, it's not just celebrated here, it's obviously celebrated worldwide. And it aims to celebrate the social, economic, cultural and political achievements of women. And the campaign theme this year is Break the Bias. So it's basically about, you know, whether deliberate or unconscious, bias makes it difficult for women to actually move ahead. So knowing that bias exists isn't actually enough. And the whole campaign is basically discussing how like action needs to be taken to level the playing field. And I actually found like quite a nice quote about like who supports it. And it said, "The story of women's struggle for equality belongs to no single feminist, nor to any one organisation, but to the collective efforts of..." "To the collective efforts of all who care about human rights." Which I thought was such a nice thing. Like, it kind of makes you feel like it isn't just one, you know, cause. It's actually about everything. And it was quite enlightening to me, even though I obviously know that it's not just about one particular thing.
Yeah, women can't do it alone.
It's not just like women getting the vote. It's everything. Mm-hmm. Like, it's about every part of like life, down to the
systemic
social.
Yeah. It's everywhere. Yeah,
yeah.
Completely agree. So in honour of today and empowering women and encouraging all women to know the signs of cancer, especially young adult cancer, so we're going to focus this week on female cancers, hence why Boob Team collab.
Yeah.
And so this week's...
It's all very woman, woman, woman this week.
So Cancer of the Week. I love that. I need to hear these sound effects. Ali does that every single week. It's ovarian cancer, which I always say it like it's really fun.
I need
to stop it.
Well, listen, we're trying to bring positivity to the subject, yeah. So it's okay. But yeah, ovarian, it's actually Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. As well as it was last week, I didn't even mention that, but it was Brain Tumour Cancer Awareness Month. There's actually a few going on this month, which is actually quite good in terms of, like, you know, introducing it this week with women's mm-hmm. cancer as well. So I thought, why not do two at the same time?
Yeah, so we'll go through some signs and symptoms of ovarian cancer, and then I think we'll touch upon some other cancers that women typically experience, and then I think we'll get cracking with some questions that are quite fun to talk about for this
week.
We're
going to have a little debate going on, which I'm actually really excited about, because we're going to ask some provocative questions, mm-hmm. have a little womanly discussion, mm-hmm. And then we'll just talk about what International Women's Day means to us, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, first, we'll just go quickly through, like, ovarian cancer signs and symptoms.
Abnormal vaginal discharge, which, again, one of those things that is not typically quite uncommon, because you need cycle changes and all that, you get different types. Pain or pressure in the pelvic area, not entirely sure what that would feel like.
I don't know. Well, that's probably because we've
never had it.
But I don't know. I know what you mean, like, with other ones you can kind of imagine it, but it's kind of a weird one. Abdominal or back pain, which, again,
on your period, you just get that.
Exactly. Yeah. Bloating, feeling full too quickly. I always feel full too quickly.
I don't know how I tell.
I think I've got that as a problem, to be honest, in life. And then, changing bathroom habits, such as more frequent urination, which is wee-wee.
I did buy a 3.8-litre water bottle recently.
Yeah, so you wouldn't fucking know, Ali, honestly.
So I wouldn't be able to tell. Vaginal bleeding, which is generally associated with stromal tumours. That, again, because, you know, when you're changing contraceptions or anything, you do get some weird spotting. So I feel like that's, again, a bit of a hard one. But maybe it's
a lot of abnormal bleeding.
Yeah.
And actually, I was expecting to see in here, like blood in your pee.
Yeah, but it's
not here, which is strange. But yeah, I usually always think that's always a dodgy sign of something, isn't it?
But after 25 years old, isn't it every year you get a pap smear? I think.
I'm not sure.
I think it is. Or I get a bit.
But we always do a follow-up, so I'll put it all on the Instagram, because a big part of raising awareness for women is encouraging screening, like mammograms, all that type of stuff. Cervical
always
screenings.
Get your screenings.
We've talked about this before.
No, I think
so
I'm right.
Important.
I think it's 25, after 25 onwards, you get your invite yearly to your pap smear.
Yeah.
And then I think it's when you're 50 onwards, you get an invite to your mammogram yearly.
I want to do it earlier. Well, the thing is with me, I'm kind of on the radar anyway at this point, so I get checked upon quite a lot. But actually would love to, because I obviously only get checked really for, I kind of get a general check, you know, they check my blood cells and stuff. But at the same time, I'd actually like to get checked, you know, for everything else. I actually think, you know how your car gets an MOT?
Mm-hmm.
You should actually get a human MOT.
I think you should as well. Like
every year,
a blood test, a full body check.
Why does your car take more importance over your actual individual
capitalism.
Health? Don't even get me started, Ali.
But we're doing that in our seminar tomorrow.
I can't talk about it because I've just read it this morning and I actually thought I was having a stroke. It was that bad.
I quite enjoyed it.
Sorry. Honestly. I was reading it and I was like, what is going on at this point? And I was like, you know, and it's so intense and dense. And I was like, every sentence was like a marathon for me. But anyway, sorry, we've gone off topic. But I always think that you should, and I think if I can when I'm older, I will try and do that. Well, again, I don't know if I probably will be quite on the radar, like I said, but I'll encourage anyone I'm with in the future to do that. Like try and get a yearly, like my sister's boyfriend's dad does it all the time. He's in Germany. He literally just pays. I don't know how much he pays, but just gets everything checked out. Once a year, I think, and how I would feel so much better about going about day to day knowing that everything's
okay. One thing I want to do that I haven't done, and I'm not sure how you go about it, and this is a bit, again, a little bit off topic, is stuff like mole mapping.
Watching where your moles are, but then
recording that with someone, and then you can go get the checked every few years or whatever. Or if you worry something's going bigger, they'll know how big it is and where it is.
I've never heard of that before in my life.
No, I want, there's a lot of stuff like that, mole mapping. I want to have a full blood test yearly.
Yeah. I think I think that should be part and parcel of everyday life. Not everyday life. I think that's a bit intense, to be honest. But like every year, So we are going to go through now some of the common cancers for women, just to run through them because I think it's quite important to highlight them. So you've got the top one, breast, colorectal, lung, cervical, endometrial, which is actually the lining of the uterus, and then skin. So these obviously aren't all of them, but these are the ones that came up as like the most common. And they say, like, you know, from menstrual cycles to menopause, female bodies go through a lot, and it's normal to feel different sometimes, but it's a good idea to get any new symptom checked out by your doctor, as some of the changes can be signs of cancer. Also, keep in mind some cancer symptoms can actually also be caused by other health conditions. Just don't panic every time something slightly feels off.
Yeah.
But just be wary of it. I always say, like, if it lasts longer than like a week or 2 weeks, maybe just go and get it checked out.
Well, that's what we do with Boob Team, because we promote checking for the signs and symptoms of breast cancer, and obviously the big main one of the lump.
Yeah.
You get to know what's normal for you. If you feel something abnormal and that becomes your new normal, that's a bad thing, you know what I mean?
So yeah,
you
wanna, no.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me. It became my new normal to have these bad, really sore...
Well, Valentina showed me the photo the other day. And obviously, we went through your story and how you got all those tests that said you were fine. So I completely understand the not knowing something was wrong. But they were huge.
It's not even funny when I look back. I think, how thick could I actually been? But you just tell yourself.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like, it's nothing. And I'd lived with it for so long. And I remember going to... when I was actually getting my first treatment, and the doctor said to me, he felt my neck and he said, it's called like the melting tube, like the melting cancer, because it melts away all the tumours. And he basically said, yeah, they'll be gone by next week after one treatment. And I said, oh my God, I said, that's so weird. I've had these for so long.
You must have felt so skinny after.
I felt, you know what's weird? Even though it's going through all this really weird change and everything like that, the fact that I didn't have them was like a big bonus.
Yeah.
They were really painful.
But it wasn't even like it was even on each side.
I looked like I was like, my eyes started watering because my face was literally weighed down by a lymph node. Like, if that's not a big concerning sign, I don't know what else is. So going through some of the women's cancers, getting back to it, basically we just wanted to run through some general symptoms that women can experience. So first one is breast or nipple changes. We talked about that as well in our breast cancer.
Yeah, we have. Nipple discharge, dimpling, inverting nipples, lumps that can be in your armpits as well. It's all the lymph node area, not just
the
boobs.
Yeah, they say like a lump in your armpit, swollen breast, nipple discharge.
Pain.
Nipples that point inward, skin that looks like an orange peel, which is like dimpling.
Yeah.
God, Ali, you know all of
them. You know, when you've been chatting boobs for 2 years, you get to know your stuff.
The next one is bowel changes. So that could be anything from diarrhea, constipation, thin, dark, or bloody poop, belly pain or cramps, weakness and tiredness, unexplained weight loss, belly, pelvic or back pain. So that's pain in your torso, which is a common sign of endometriosis. Why do I say that in like... goes like up and down. It can also be cramps from your menstrual cycle, but long lasting aches or pressure in your belly, pelvis or back can be a sign of several kinds of cancer. So I think that's what the key is. It's long lasting, because that's what they said. There's like a difference between, like, you know, you're getting your own period.
But yeah, as we say, just if in doubt, call your GP. And also one thing we always say is
I'm on a roll here.
Sorry, keep going.
Quickly go through them then. Bloating. It's normal to feel puffy after a big meal, but tell your doctor if you've visibly bloated every single day for a few weeks, because that can be a sign of ovarian, we just mentioned. Pee changes. Ah, so here comes the pee. Which we said, you know, your bladder changes, but it can actually be feeling of pressure, pain or burning, peeing often, sudden urge to pee, or problems emptying bladder, weight loss we've mentioned, and non-period bleeding, which I think is quite self-explanatory, to be honest. But I think there's actually then fatigue, loss of appetite, and then I feel like they're more self-explanatory, to be honest. And again, we will always upload them onto the Instagram afterwards if you want like more detail on these things, which I actually do recommend, because it literally takes 2 minutes to just go through, and it can actually just, you know, you can spot it in yourself or someone else, and it can prevent, you know, worse things happening. You know, yeah. you can spot it early and all that type of stuff. But yeah, I think what Ali was saying before, I was like, stop talking, you're interrupting my flow, is, yeah, if you are worried, please, please just go to a practitioner.
And if you want a second opinion, get one.
Yeah, because I learned that the hard way.
We like a second opinion.
And I always think, just why not now? Like, yeah. it's who cares? They're not going to be offended because you're getting a second no. opinion. Like, you are, at the end of the day, you're looking after yourself, aren't you? So just go and, like, sort yourself out. Mm-hmm. Who cares about what anyone thinks, basically?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's rounds up the first section of the podcast, I think, where we're just going to go through, like, the orientation towards cancer and stuff like that. And now we're going to go into the boob team segment with Caitlin.
Yeah.
And we'll get her to introduce herself and we'll have, like, a nice chat about things and why she's on the boob team.
Hi, guys. I'm Caitlin. I'm one of the events officers on Uni Boob Team for York. I'm 20 years old and I study law at the University of York. And I joined the boob team because breast cancer is something that has affected my family and a lot of other families. And I wanted to raise awareness for the sort of signs and symptoms of breast cancer and hopefully help as many people be aware of it as possible to sort of prevent this illness.
Yeah. And you've been on for, Alice, you're an OG.
I'm an OG yeah. member.
When did you join then? 20?
Yeah, so I joined in 2019 when I started university. So I joined probably within the first few weeks of uni. I sort of heard about the boob team, which this was actually our first year founding it. So
yeah.
That was the first year that the committee got set up in York. So I joined and we were brand new just then. And
yeah, Caitlin needs a plaque.
Yeah, yeah. And she'd name a trophy after me or something. But so basically we've grown a lot over the 3 years that I've been on the committee, and now we've got a much larger committee and we've hosted really brilliant events.
Yeah. And I said earlier on the podcast, which you haven't listened to, obviously, because it's just been recorded, but I was saying that you painted glitter on my face at my first boob team event.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's how I got involved. So Caitlin is OG member.
And I'm the youngest one.
Yeah, you're a little fresh baby.
I feel like we've got a little family going. It's nice.
It is really cute.
I said that before. I said it's actually, I know I've not been there a long time at all, but the actual atmosphere is really nice. It's very chilled. It's all very, like, friendly. Because, you know, I said some societies are quite, like, intense, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas boob team's not. It's just very much like...
Yeah, and I felt a lot of societies, sometimes if you wanted to join late, or whatever, it's a little bit daunting, but with boob team, it's just come volunteer, get involved,
yeah,
get fun.
Yeah, I think it's so nice because it's just such a supportive group mm-hmm. of women, yeah. really just cheering each other on, and it doesn't sort of feel like we're a society, it feels like we're just one big group of girl mates just hanging out.
Yeah, I'm enjoying our weekly meetings at the Charles now.
Oh, love that.
I'm loving it, having a great time.
It didn't even feel like a meeting, it just felt like a pub trip. Well, it was a pub trip.
Yeah, and AGM this Thursday, so I'm going to have some pints.
I know, fantastic.
Can't be great.
Well, in the theme of that as well, like with that, you know, feeling like this kind of like girl kind of camaraderie, is that the mm-hmm. right terminology? I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's why we basically thought it was a really good idea to actually team up with Boob Team and actually do, because it's International Women's Day, that's the whole theme of the podcast today.
Yeah,
just to like really like champion, you know, empowering women and stuff like that. So I think what we'll do is actually get into some questions and have a little bit of a debate going, almost, maybe.
Nice.
Or just like a discussion.
I don't know what was a debate. I think
we're all going to be on the same kind of wavelength.
No,
but,
I hate International Women's Day.
I hate women.
Okay, so first things first, what does International Women's Day mean to you guys?
That was just the
eggs that I bought in. Chocolate eggs. Yeah, go on.
I think International Women's Day to me is all about just women and girls cheering each other on, supporting each other. I feel like that's what we try and do in Uni Boob Team as well, and I think it's just sort of expanding that. So, the whole idea of like girls supporting girls, cheering each other on, empowering each other, and sort of standing up for themselves. Sort of the patriarchy, all of that jazz. to put it bluntly. But that's what International Women's Day means to me. I think it's just drawing attention to that, basically.
I completely agree, and I also think another part is also important to create awareness for men. Awareness for men and how they can support women, though, in that sense.
Yeah.
Not about men, sorry. I didn't mean like that. I meant
International Women's Day is all about men.
It's all about men. No, I meant in the sense that it's about... this year's motto is break the bias.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So getting women more support by evening the playing field cannot be done without men kind of sorting... This is not coming out so badly.
No, I completely agree.
if men support us, it makes our life, it will make this break the bias thing a lot easier, because we live in patriarchy is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's acknowledging their male privilege and sort of using it as a tool rather than sort of just taking it and running with it. Mm-hmm. Basically using their privilege as a tool to empower and uplift women to be on the same level playing field.
Because I think women are very powerful.
I agree.
Lovely. And that's why I love Boob Team.
Well, the thing is, that was like trying to tread on the toes of my next question, which was like, how can it's fine, but I mean, like, it's kind of all linked, where how can men, you know, contribute to women's empowerment? Because I also agree with that, because I think, it's the fact that where women are, you know, kind of shunned and stuff like that, men have that power, and it's almost, I saw a quote once where it's actually the more evil person is the one that actually has the power to do something but doesn't do anything.
Other men for their bullshit, basically. Call out loads of things that you think are wrong because you have the privilege to do so.
Absolutely, like challenge your friends as well in the way that you sort of objectify women and the way you talk about them, and like
that's what I think. I don't think guys do that enough. I can, you know, why they don't do it as well is because obviously it's all that kind of like egotistical. You know, if they say something like "don't say that," like they'll all get laughed at and stuff like that. But I also think there's something so wrong with that, because you need to be able to you wouldn't want your sister or your mum or anything like that like going through something like that. So I always think you need to stick up for girls, like, in the same way you would do for those people.
The fundamental change in institutionalized setting, so school, workplace, that needs to be, again, with the motto for International Women's Day this year, evening the playing field, break the bias, and so on.
For me, I think, I would agree with Caitlin as well about empowering women. And I think the girls supporting girls is a nice thing, because I think girls, typically, I feel like for so long have really been, like, going against each other and get jealous and get nasty and get bitchy. Like, it's happened to us all, like...
Yeah.
Girls are I think typically bitchy, I think we had to grow up like that, especially in like secondary school. So I think it's really nice, especially when we're actually becoming like young women, like adults and stuff, that we actually start to have more like unity amongst us, and we actually support each other and don't try and bring each other down, and actually say, you know, if you've done something well, like, well done, and just really cheer each other on. Because I think if we're more united, God, this is gonna, I feel like I'm about to do a massive speech, but I feel like, I do think if we're more united, then it will help us.
Absolutely.
I think that's what Serena Williams said, like, you know, don't we need to like become like together so that we like be, like, you know, resist this kind of patriarchy.
That's why I love women's groups.
This is why I think it's so nice to be part of Boob Team as well.
Obviously men are welcome to be part of Boob Team, but naturally, because breast cancer predominantly affects women, it's more female, which is why I love it. I'm part of women's networks and finance things and stuff. I want to go into
really
that
nice,
and I love it.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's what is nice about Boob Team, that you've got that kind of empowerment going on.
I feel like it's just a demonstration of how, when women stand together, like you mentioned before, how when women stand together and unite it rather than trying to drag each other down, look what we can achieve collectively. And I think that's the whole point of International Women's Day is, why don't we come together and work to tackle this rather than sort of, you know, beating each other up and bringing each other down and get a bit catty, because that's just not going to achieve anything, really, is it?
Exactly. Moving on to another question. What kind of woman-related, like, taboos or myths do you think need to be broken?
Well, to be fair, sort of going against what we were just discussing, maybe the idea that women are bitches and this whole sort of narrative of, when we do stand up for ourselves, we're argumentative and bitchy and really stubborn and all of that, whereas actually that's
you're just a bit hormonal.
Oh my God. And it's the whole thing of,
when men go, are you on your period? Reason I could potentially be annoyed in this situation.
But it is just us standing up for ourselves. It doesn't mean, if a man did it, it would just be them sort of you know, standing up for themselves and like putting their chest out and being really brave and things like that, whereas when we do it, we're called bitches. So why is that the narrative? So I think that's one of the sort of taboos that needs to get broken down.
Yeah, and on top of that, like, I think name calling in general. It's so, oh my God, the amount of times I was on a night out in Manchester with my friends, and they'd come, it was actually History Girls from Uni of York, and they all like came to Manchester, and we were on a night out, and these guys just started shouting like slag, like, you know, sort like all these like really derogatory like female terms. And I was like, why, like, of all the things to call like girls, it's so funny how they naturally go to them like straight away. Like, that's like, they want to bring us down.
Yeah, yeah. And also, another insult that a lot of men use for each other is, it's a bit vulgar, pussy.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, more female technically
term. Yeah, like, you're such a pussy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit rude, is what I say. Yeah, yeah, so I just feel like...
Yeah, it's trying to make it like a weak kind of thing, isn't it? And trying to say, like, you know, like, it's actually, like, embarrassing to... And, like, you know, it's a bad thing.
Yeah, and I think as well, going off sort of the name-calling you were mentioning before... the whole taboo around slut shaming in general, like, if a guy sleeps with someone, oh, he's a legend, and oh, yeah, well, mate, and all of this. Whereas if a girl does it, automatically she's a slut, and
I don't get it.
Like,
she's still
slept with too many people
it.
And stuff like this.
There's, and I feel like we are improving, but I don't think we're improving fast enough.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's so, it's so fundamentally like embedded into like culture now, and that's not even just what I do. Honestly, it crosses like borders as well. Like, it literally is worldwide. I think this type of idea that women, who sleep with more men. And I think we know this because we study history. It's gone back so far. It's going to be so hard to eradicate it because, women, if you sleep with, like, more than one guy or whatever in one now, 1 week or whatever, you're a slag or sort of whatever. And then for guys, it's like, well done. Like, it's so annoying.
The,
it really winds
the difference in where this whole, like, rogue term of body count and stuff like that, the difference in how we judge women's body count, where, oh, if it's above a certain number, that's absolutely outrageous. But then if it's below a certain number, then you're a prude. Mm-hmm. Whereas male body count, you're a legend regardless, mate, and top job.
Another one I find is a bit more complex, just a kind of deep issue, is women's health, and particularly women's contraceptive, reproductive health, where we have all the contraceptives and not any pain relief, no easy way of accessing it, really. You know, you kind of access the pill a bit easier than other things, and it's not, you know, that's so hormonal. Men, there is a male pill now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on the market because no one wants it.
Yeah.
It's just stuff like that. So I feel like that's another taboo, not a taboo thing, but just a thing that I'd kind of like to see in the next few years, more options for men to take the lead with the contraception,
and things like, why do we still have to pay for periods and for
tampons and pads? That was literally my
and
thought
they're really
speaking.
Expensive
and
only
the morning
to pay
after
pill. There's not
what
like
is that
50p
about?
Yeah, you know, it's £4 a box
so
tampons.
True.
Ridiculous.
Like,
it's so
what
true.
Is the reason
And
what is the reason?
They're free in Scotland now, I think.
Yeah. I think that should, I think, hopefully,
extend
sort of people
here.
Take note. And
Hopefully that will come to us,
Ridiculous.
But, so myth taboos, what was yours, Ali?
I don't know what to call that, just something I'd like to see a change in.
Fair enough. We've kind of gone past the men one about, you know, how they...
Don't you talk about men on International Women's Day.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is as well, that's another point though, isn't it? Because it's not like we're like anti-men.
Yeah.
At all. It's not like that. I think men do see that sometimes. I can understand why, because sometimes girls and women, you know, they tend to go, oh, I hate all men and all they're all like the same. And men do, I think, suffer from that because not all men are the same.
Yeah,
and I think the ones that aren't really get angry and whatever about that. But I also think like they need to understand it's not about that. It's about we're challenging the things that are actually, you know, affecting us, and we're not challenging the ones that aren't. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's we're not anti-men, we're just like pro-women.
Pro-women, yeah. Absolutely. I think that's such a good way to look at it.
I don't know, actually, sorry, that's my writing. I can't actually read what I wrote. So that was actually one of the questions I thought would be quite nice to answer is, what would your advice be to like your younger female self?
Oh, that's such a good question. I would say... That is such a good question. I think maybe... What I would say, I had quite a difficult time at school and sort of fitting in and things like that. So I would sort of say to her, like, it does get better and you do find your people. And I think one of the things that I've really found since coming to uni and, like, being a part of Boob Team is it's just there is so much support and there's so much female empowerment. And my friends that I have at university always uplift me and sort of I can really lean on them in times that I need. So I'd say to my younger self, like, just give it time, you know? I think you do find your people and you do find both women and men who are going to lift you up and really support you and be there for you. So I think, I'd say to my younger self, maybe just, like, be patient, because I think that's a big thing with uni especially, is that people have this expectation that during Freshers Week you're going to find your best mates and yeah, they're going to be with yeah, you for the yeah, entire time and you're going to be the best of friends and each other's maid of honour and all of that jazz. Whereas actually sometimes it does take time, and it's the same with school, it's the same with uni. Sometimes it does take time to find your people and your sort of your tribe or whatever. So yeah, I'd say for my younger self or for like other people sort of coming to uni or starting school, you know, give it time, but you will find people who uplift you rather than try to bring you down.
Yeah. No, yeah. I completely agree. I was going to say that being part of boob teams really mm-hmm, improved my confidence at uni.
Yeah, absolutely.
With just, I want to say like social skills almost, to be honest, because like, I wouldn't be doing this podcast with you without doing joining boob team. Mm-hmm. I've done some public speaking. I've made really lovely friends mm-hmm, outside of my college, outside of just general friendship circles that I run in, and I've really been enjoying it. And I just, yeah, so definitely to younger self, I'd say just go out there and join the things you want to join.
100%.
And particularly women's groups, because I think they're amazing.
Yeah, I think you're never going to, you would never regret joining something like boob mm-hmm, team or sort of empowering other women or joining women's group. And there's no judgment around it. So I think rather than being intimidated, you should just go for it, I think.
And yeah. I think uni offers that, doesn't it? And not just uni, because we obviously don't just target students, we target everyone. I mean, like, all young adults. And I think, as well, like, it isn't just uni, but it's actually, hopefully, like, when you'd expect as well, like, when you're growing older and you're starting to get a job and things like that, like, you realise that the kind of secondary school stuff, although sometimes it can still exist, like, I'm not saying it doesn't, like you said, at uni, you do have some expectations in life, like, everything is, like, all happy and dandy and you're going to find your people straight away. It isn't the case, but what, like, kind of a combination of what you both said is that put yourself out there and don't be, like, kind of put off by experiences you've had when you were younger, because it doesn't necessarily, like, mean that everything in your life is going to be the same. And I think you do, like you said, it's just about finding your person and your people mm-hmm, and stuff like that. And I think when you get to know yourself more, mm-hmm, which will happen with time, it doesn't happen straight away, because I don't think we're, like, finished products either. But, you know, like, I think as you're getting older and maturing, you do tend to, like, narrow down and you kind of align yourself with, like, the right people. And, again, like, just put yourself out there to do that, I think, would be my advice. And, if I could speak to my younger self, I don't know, I'd say, I think it's about joining kind of in on this kind of woman camaraderie.
Yeah.
I can't say this word,
camaraderie.
Because I think that is really nice and it does make you feel good. And I'd also say, make sure you're a girl's girl.
Yeah.
So I always have been, but I would definitely give myself that advice anyway, because I just think stick by that, because it's a nice way to be in life. Like, because I see girls that aren't girls, and I just think don't do that, because you're ruining it.
I think that's so true. I think if you see someone who isn't supporting other women, don't lower yourself to that standard. You know?
Rise above it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't basically do what they're doing and just kind of even, because you get all those things where it's like, you know, girl, and I'm talking about the basic level here, like, you know, when you're younger, like, the biggest, like, worries you've got are, like, you know, sometimes, oh, they're stealing, like, your boyfriend or going out with your boyfriend or cheating on you and all this time stuff, like, you know, girls, like, being all this type of stuff. And, you know, another term, actually, so I'm going on a rant here, but, you know, gold digger, like, that's really annoying me.
I know, men can't be gold diggers.
And it's such a female connotation. And I can understand why, again, because it probably naturally has been, like, that way inclined in the past. But I just think we need to move away from that now. I've been called gold digger so many times. I'm like, how could it be a gold digger? I'm like 16 years old.
It's almost counteractive as well, because you're calling them a gold digger, but then there is no equal pay between men and women. And sort of women are predominantly paid less than their male counterparts, obviously, unfairly. So why are we punishing women when they're already being punished and suggesting they're gold diggers when we're not? We're just not paid as much as men than we should be, do you know?
One really random thing that happened to me at the school I went to that kind of extends from that was I was friends with this girl who wasn't that popular, but we got along really well, really good friends with her, and she was quite wealthy. And a boy kept asking me every time I was in French class if I was friends with her because she was rich. An insinuation that's so the only reason I'd be friends with her. It's just the weirdest thing. I just stuff like that. I just feel like it's kind of internalised from when but I feel like it's internalised from a young age.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely
why I think International Women's Day should be promoted in schools as well.
Yeah.
What do you mean? So,
like, I don't know, just like from the start, just women's equality promoted in schools. I feel like at school, when I'm one of the co-ed schools I went to, such a segregation between male sports and stuff. I don't know, and just
I was thinking about that the other day. Like, we're still, like, separated into teams. Like, I know that probably won't change in my lifetime, but at the same time, just think it is really weird. And you play hockey, funnily enough, which is obviously not separated here at uni. Like, you are, it's mixed, isn't it?
Yeah, so college level at uni is mixed, and then uni level is sort of separate between
the
moment. Yeah,
because I always think that though. Because I was watching the match yesterday and I was thinking, how would I feel about playing with guys as well? And I actually said I wouldn't like it.
I think there's pros and cons because it's so nice having women's teams.
Yeah.
But then again, having the option to having mixed teams is good as well. So that's why having college and uni level sport at York's really nice.
Yeah, I think that is something that I really enjoyed about York, because before uni I played both mixed and women's hockey, and I really enjoyed it, so I was really glad that I got to go to a uni where both of them were options. But I do completely understand what you mean in terms of sometimes it's really nice playing on a team full of girls and you get to empower each other.
When I look back now, I'm thinking when I used to play like all of the sports. But when I was younger, I think I really actually enjoyed that aspect of it, because it didn't feel bitchy. Like, all the other teams that we used to play were really bitchy and scary.
Yeah.
But, like, our team, we really, like, came together every single time we had a match, and I always loved that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'd feel about having guys on my team as well. I don't know what it would be like.
I just feel like what I was trying to get is like education in schools, just in general, about International Women's Day, promoting it, having everyone on board from the get go when they first hear about it.
I think a lot of things about school have to change, and you know, when you get to the stage, you realising what you actually should have been taught a bit more.
Absolutely.
So I think women's empowerment is a big one, because I think girls, unfortunately, that's where it can start. Your mind can get so moulded at that age, like you really need like good positive encouragement, like to say like this is how you should be treating women.
Yeah.
And like I said, I do think we're improving. And I do think for example, there's that podcast like the Girls' Bathroom, you know, that kind of like podcast.
So
I feel like we are gonna get in there, but there still needs to be work done.
Well, I just think, Ali, going on from what you were saying about education, I don't understand why we don't teach what feminism means. Everyone's got this weird notion that it's all about women bashing men and saying,
anti-men.
But it's not. Literally, the definition of feminism is just create equality between all genders. And I just don't get why that's not something that we talk about.
And I think what people don't understand, it's not really about. People think it's about women just trying to get the same as men, which technically it is, but it's about trying, like, we need more support to get there than they do. So it's about giving us more. And I feel like that's where the weird part comes in, where people think that feminists are trying to take things.
Because
it's just like, we need that to get to the same place as a man.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think, fair enough, take it.
Have it.
Yeah. You're 100%. I think so many things we're not taught we should be, but that is a big one. It should be part of education in general, to be honest.
People think to discuss feminism is like this taboo, and to call yourself a feminist is absolutely radical concept, and it means you're angry and aggressive and things like that. It literally just means people want equality. And once you explain that to someone, especially like guy mates, once you explain what feminism is, they're like, oh yeah, brilliant, like I'm a feminist. I'm like, yeah, like everyone should be.
I completely agree, because I had this exact conversation with my ex, never forget, and I was like, and I said, and I think I've had this conversation with my dad as well, so I said, are you a feminist? And he went no, because I think he thinks that's girly. And I was it's like, that's not what it means, just that, you know. I explained, it's like, it just literally means that, do you not think that women should get the same as men then?
And it's like people think it's radical. It's not. It's just, if you think women should deserve rights,
the thing is, I am quite fair in the sense that I can understand why people jump to that conclusion because there are the ones that are kind of extreme, and that's what kind of puts people off. I don't think there's anything wrong with like that, but at the same time, I just think that's what people go to. They need to understand this, like, it's like a spectrum.
Well, there is. So there's misandry, which people obviously usually call like feminazis or whatever, and sort of are people who believe that women are better than men. And then on the flip side of that, you've got misogyny, which are men who think they're better than women.
Exactly.
And the middle ground is literally feminism. And I think people too often associate feminism with misandry and say, oh yeah, the same thing and all of this, whereas actually you're completely right, it is a spectrum.
And I think we just need to align ourselves appropriately, and feminism is nicely in the middle,
yeah,
so we're there.
So that's all for today, but we thought we'd just bring it back a bit to what we were actually, this podcast was kind of set up for. So we'll bring it back to Bouvetine because it's the collab, and obviously Bouvetine's breast cancer awareness. So you can always come join us. We're always looking for volunteers and people to get involved. We're going to be recruiting a new committee in the next couple of months, and the president will be done in the next couple of weeks, that role, which will be filled as my time is coming to an end. And yeah, I think Caitlin's going to promote our text code now.
Yeah, so if you text UBT York to 70500, you get free, quite fun as well, monthly reminders to check your tatas.
On the first of every month, I always look forward to it.
I quite look forward to it. That's basically it, isn't it? Well, we've just had, just relating it all back to cancer awareness and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why, like, we've collabed with Bouvetine today, and we want to say a big thanks to Caitlin for coming on.
Yes, thank you very much.
It's our first in-person guest as well.
I know.
I feel honoured.
This is going to sound really weird, I've just thought about it. You broke our in-person guest virginity. Well, that sounds absolutely horrific.
Sure.
If we had like a little steam like sound thing now, I'd do like a kind of applaud or something like that, just for like coming on the show, but we don't, so thanks for listening, everyone, and we hope you've enjoyed, and we hope we have helped in any way, shape or form, and if in doubt, check it out and go to your practitioner if you're worried about anything, and if you're not satisfied, go to someone else. So that's it from us here, and goodbye.
See you next week.